Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we pray a blessing on it, on this section having to do with priests, knowing that you've called us to be kings and priests, and we pray this would be instructive on our walk. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 21, Leviticus, and the Lord said unto Moses, speaking of the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, this shall none be defiled for the dead among his people, but for his kin, that is near unto him, that is for his mother, and for his father, for his son, for his daughter, and for his brother, and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her may he be defiled. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Okay, these first five verses have to do with the dead and defiling yourself therewith. Death is defiling. You remember how we looked at, if anyone has an issue or a sore, and we talked all about leprosy and how defiling that was. There was nothing more defiling except death. And you can't defile yourself for the dead among his people. And then he makes a few exceptions for his kin that is near unto him, that is for his mother, for his father, for his son, for his daughter, for his brother. Yeah, can you be a like a mortician and a priest? No, no. What about today? There's something. I just was thinking about this. Someone says to Jesus, "I'll follow you, but first let me go bury my father." And you remember what Jesus says: "Let the dead bury their dead." What is that all about? Well, we have people who can take care of that sort of stuff. Not our job. You mean a Christian really can't be a mortician? No, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about if I can't make this point here, I just can't make this point. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, he's going to tell us the reason we shouldn't sorrow, and he's going to mention resurrection. And this is, of course, the great passage on what we stupidly call the rapture. I always want to call it the resurrection. Why? Because we have dead people rising. I don't know what you call that. I call that resurrection. But I don't want you to grieve like others who have no hope. Why? Because they have no hope. It's kind of, the question kind of answers itself. I've been at funerals where people, or visiting hours, where people have had no hope. We talk about the silly things they say. Why would they say silly? Well, they're trying to get some hope. Even people who are atheists and agnostics start, adding a little spirituality at a funeral. Well, they're in a better place. What, fertilizer according to you? I'm never so arrogant I would say it, but I always think it, okay? I just pray for me. My mind goes to those places, those sarcastic and those non-helpful places. But at least be proud of me in this. I don't, it doesn't find instant vocal expression. But the other part about it is they have no hope. So they're crying and wailing, and I remember one young girl, I went to it was an iron worker, and they were out hooting and hollering and carrying on, acting all crazy, and there was a car wreck, and there was death. And I went to his funeral, a young man, a friend of mine, and it was tragic beyond tragic, and they weren't spiritual people. And his sister was just wailing, like a banshee, wailing, and saying, "I don't want him to be dead," and they're saying, "He's dead, he's gone, but I don't want him to be." And I just thought and it was crushing my spirit to hear that utter hopelessness. But that's not us. That's not us. We don't act like those who have no hope. There's a, hey, I don't care how dear, how close, how near they are to us. And I'm not being cavalier. I've lost people too. I'll see you in the morning. I'll catch you on the other side. I understand. And then what happens when we're not exactly sure about that? Well, we're not exactly sure about that. You know what I mean? What about the ones who were, well, there's a couple of ways to look at it. One, God knows what he's doing. God loves that person more than we loved that person. And we never really know. And I think all those things are kind of helpful. But when I say see you later to a believer, it's I'll see you later. I hope you like me. We're going to be together forever. I hope you at least tolerate me. And I have that real love in my heart for fellow Christians, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And if you don't have that, I mean, I would really question the legitimacy of my salvation if I didn't have any love for the brethren. That would be just... But we don't... Our ways of viewing death, they're just different, okay? They are in the Old Testament, they are in the New Testament. Priests don't defile themselves for the dead. They shall not make baldness upon the head. Apparently, you know, shaving their head or cutting off their beard or something was a way of showing grief, or making any cuttings in their flesh. I don't think this is a tattoo. I think this is like, you know, kind of slicing yourself up, you know, just some bloodletting, just some, you know, extreme grief. Something perhaps practiced by the non-believers in that day. But we don't mourn like non-believers. It's a whole different thing. Listen, our Christianity has to mean something. Sadness? Of course. Of course, we were never designed for death. Joy, just, you got to remember what, you know, the last friend I lost was Peter. I think about him from time to time. He's having a good day. He's been having a good day for a series of days. Days here, not days there. There's no day and night there. He's fine. His at last report, he was cancer-free, eternally. I mean, and I... All the problems, all the, you know, he's a worker. He's retired now. I just thought you'd like to know. And he's doing great. I haven't checked with him for a while, but you can't. There's a gulf between here and there. And we you know, was it sadness? I cried when I heard. I really did. I was telling somebody else, and I got... real weepy in my, when I was trying to tell someone, I think it was you. I think I called you first. And when I was saying, I kind of choked on the words a little bit, and I get kind of like, and I'm like, you ridiculous human being, what are you crying about? Well, I'm crying because I lost a friend, and a dear friend, and it was just that there, and you can be sad for sure. And in the sadness, there's joy. Of course, we're not like everybody else. And I think all the chapters in Leviticus, God's calling us not to be like everybody else. Verse 6, they shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer, therefore they shall be holy. Their offerings are holy, okay? They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, a wife who is a whore or profane, neither from her husband, for he is holy unto the Lord. No, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, I skipped a line, for he is holy unto the Lord. I don't know why I can't read tonight. No one who's profane, that just means outside of, well, it means outside of the temple, outside of the tabernacle is what it means, but it just comes to mean common, that which is not set aside for a holy purpose. So profane doesn't mean use a lot of profanity. I'm going to marry this woman, but she's got a mouth like, she curses like a sailor, so I can't marry her, she's profane. No. No, it means common. Is it different in the New Testament? No. We're still, if I'm a priest, I'm supposed to marry a priestess. I'm supposed to marry one of God's people. I'm not supposed to marry something that is common or unclean. Someone who is, well, they're a child of God. No, they're a creation of God. And the distinction is eternal. Once they become saved, well, all's fair then. I'm not saying, you know, if you got a single saved guy and a single saved lady, voila, that's great. They should marry and live happily ever after. They can. I mean, still seek after the Lord and try to do right by the Lord and try to, you know, get the one who God has set aside for you. I mean, because can you imagine being married to somebody of the opposite gender who's a Christian and you would be miserable ever after? Yes. Yes. You know, and I don't think in terms like that all the time. I'm happy I'm married who I'm married to, because there's a lot of people who just wouldn't put up with my shenanigans. I mean, they simply wouldn't. I always tell people, like, you know, I remember I was eating a salad, and I was just like, oh, this is so delicious, because it has, she doesn't make, like, lettuce and a couple of tomatoes in it. It's like 18 different ingredients, and they're all good, all things I love, like those white mushrooms, them raw, big chunks of them raw mushrooms, and she'll have olives in it, and sometimes like, you know, raw string beans or kidney beans, or, and you know, and all the stuff, and there'll be the dressing I love, sometimes something that she made or something like this. So I'll be eating this, and I'll say, oh, what a good salad. And one of my friends will say, if you do say so yourself. And I thought, like, what does he mean if I, oh, I didn't make this, I didn't put this up, my wife did that. Your wife puts up your lunch. Well, she gets up to cook me breakfast, she might as well make my lunch, is the way I figure it. And they're all like, she does not. And I'm saying, like, yeah, she does. And they're all like, well, she got a sister? Hey, can you send her over my house to train my wife on? And who else would do that for me? So it's like, you know, you could be married to somebody who's of opposite sex and both believers and still be miserable. But here, all he's saying is, okay, prostitutes, right out, all right? I don't think he's saying prostitutes. He's not, the word whore is loose moral woman. I don't think money's involved. I think, okay, she's been sleeping with a lot of people. Guess what? She ain't sleeping with me. I'm a priest. Or profane, that means common. Don't take a woman put away from her husband. If she's divorced, that's for somebody else, that ain't for you. For he is holy unto the Lord. So the priest, the one who set himself apart for the Lord, is holy, and his marriage, his home life has to be holy. What happens if you're all those things? You're profane and a whore, as I love the King James. We're bastards this morning, whores tonight. Just wonderful language. And you know, I'm kind of glad sometimes it calls things, you know, because we always want to be maybe too delicate and never get said what needs to be said. What happens if you're all those things? You're a profane person who's got a lot of sexual partners, and you're been divorced 3 or 4 or 5 times. I got a friend who's divorced, I think it was 5 times. He's on number 5 and doing really well, because now he's living and loving the Lord and he's doing great. Can that happen? Yeah, God can redeem anything, all right? Now, don't go into a situation like that hoping that God will redeem it. I know this lady's been divorced 4 times, but now, you know, I'll marry and it'll be wonderful. She's like totally hot. I'm thinking, yes, so's hell. Don't fall for that. Don't. Yeah. But people do that. They let their, you know, hormones do the talking and stuff like that, and they're not. God can sanctify, but don't go into a bad situation hoping that he will. I'm going to marry a non-Christian, the young lady says. At least he's the nicest guy. And probably God will save him. That's a bad plan. What happens if, you know, 2 unbelievers get married, like in our case, right? And then one of us gets saved. That doesn't guarantee the other one's going to get saved. And in a situation like that, the Bible clearly, specifically tells us what we're supposed to do in a situation like that. He's happy to have her. He's not trying to divorce her. Well, you stay with him then. That's what the scripture says. Don't go into a situation like that. A priest is supposed to be different. Thou shalt sanctify him, therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God, he shall be holy unto thee. For I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. I am holy. You remember the scripture this morning was talking about live peaceably with all men? Live in peace with all men in holiness, without which no one's going to see the Lord. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, and again, is that calling us to be pious? No. No, it's calling us to the faith walk. You know, because it starts off looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's get rid of the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We're a race and stuff like this. But that holiness is just understanding who we are in Christ, not becoming holy by activity. Well, if I just, you know, we get into the more situation. If I just prayed a little more, if I just read the Bible a little more, if I just witnessed a little more. If you just read the Bible a little more, you'd read the Bible a little more. If you prayed a little more, you'd pray a little more. It's not going to make you holier. We're holy in Christ. And I said before, I was saying this morning, you know, trying to live the Christian life is a real drag. It is. You can't do it. Let the Spirit of God fill you and let Jesus live the Christian life through you. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire. I think stoned is the answer, and then the remains burned with fire. Or maybe just burned with fire. It's a terrible thing. We have a lot more cavalier attitude about sex outside of marriage than a lot of people's. Islam has a higher view of sex in some ways than Christianity does. I love the fact that you have a great forgiving heart. That's wonderful. Some things are still shameful behaviors, even if we're very forgiving. Let's keep moving. He that is the high priest among his brethren. He's not just a priest now. We're talking about the high priest, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, like Aaron and like his successors after him, right? And that is consecrated, poured on the garment, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. Rend his clothes is, what if he walks by something, there's a nail stick and he gets caught on it, rips, he's like in big trouble. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about rending your clothes like great extreme anguish. No, you can't do that. You shouldn't have extreme anguish. You're supposed to have joy in the Lord. And when things happen that are really dreadful and bad, you remember what he says to Ezekiel when he loses his wife, don't mourn? What do you mean, don't mourn? She's my wife. She's the love of my whole life. Yeah, don't mourn. It just is. You shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him, for I am the Lord. You got to just ask yourself, is the anointing oil on you, and what does that mean? Well, I'm not going to any funerals. Well, I don't think that's what it's saying, okay? We're talking about here, you know, up close and personal. They didn't have professionals who took care of dead people. You know what I mean? So you'd have to do the cleaning, the preparation, and stuff like that. Well, there were people who would do that. It wasn't priest work, okay? Because you're separate. You're let the dead bury their dead. We're called to better things, to holy things, to things that don't. Use this as a metaphor. Don't use this as literal, or otherwise you just get all confused. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, the high priest, okay? She's got to be a virgin. That's the way. A widow or a divorced woman or profane or an harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Most often, the priest would marry a woman from the tribe of Levi, and that's encouraged. And of course, virginity was highly prized. You can see that in the Song of Solomon. We won't go there right now. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of the seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. So you have a zit on the end of your nose, you can't. Remember, you're a picture of the high priest is a picture of the high priest, Jesus Christ, who had no blemish. Jesus never had a zit, or the point of no blemish is undefiled by sin, whatever. Okay? No, there was nothing there was nothing upon him that was blemishing. And the picture is sin. It's not, if you had acne. You know, if you have acne, forget it. You can't even be a Christian. We just get some, what's that stuff that you put on your face and all the zits dry up and stuff like that. You get some of that and you come back and maybe we'll let you in the church, right? No, it's a picture, okay? And don't dwell on, but just, because we're going to talk about some more stuff. And for whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man or lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous. There's a lot of priests out there with a lot of superfluous stuff. They major in the minors, and they make big things about things that are not big. And they, like the tithe is, oh, if you know tithing, you're a, and they, I wouldn't say tithing is superfluous. I think, like, you know, they make much about, like, church membership and how a person dresses, and they're very superfluous. And he's saying, none of that, okay? You get the anointing oil on you. I want you to represent, and don't be lame about it. Don't be blind in your ministrations. I mean, can you imagine a real priest who was blind? Is this the animal? Is this the throat? You know, and you have to see what you have to see. In the New Testament, the most oft-repeated miracle is where Jesus gives sight to the blind. We understand, having been blind ourselves, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Well, our boy, our friend John Newton got it. He understood the metaphor, and he even sang about it. You know, the Catholic version of that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved and set me free. Because you can't be a wretch like me. You can't, there's no, really? You don't even get, you don't understand your wretchedness and what Jesus saved you from? Did he save and set us free? Yeah. Oh yeah, of course he did. But I think the remarkable, the amazingness of the grace that we're singing about in that song is that I was so wretched and he saved me. Yeah, he saved and set me free, but don't change the lyrics to suit your really poor theology. But we once were blind, and now we see. We totally get that. And here he's saying, you're blind? Well, you can't be a priest. You become a believer first, okay? we're kings and we're priests in the family of God. Outside, we're profane, okay? And we're blind. And we got a flat nose, whatever that means. I don't even know. You know, because you can almost see a blind man or lame, you know what I mean? Your walk has to be in such and such a way, you know, to extend the metaphor. What is a flat nose? I have no idea. A broken nose? A disfigured face? And maybe that is, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crooked back, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. And I want to talk about stones broken here just for a second. You think don't you want to talk about scurvy or any of these things? Because a big part of what a priest does is procreate. That's why he has to have a wife who's a virgin, and he can't, what does it say? Neither shall he profane his seed among his people. Okay? Because we're talking about procreation. And if your wife is in the King James, a whore, what is that, you know, saying about your offspring? So that's why he can't have his stones broken, because, like I say, procreation is such an important part of what it means to be a priest. And when I'm talking about procreation, I'm talking about spiritual, not physical, obviously. Because if you've never been able to have any children, obviously you're a godless heathen, right? No. Remember I was saying earlier this morning, God, you know, taking us out back and laying the whole switch to us and stuff like that. He really does that. He's happy to do that in private. And if I were to out myself, that's just me outing myself. And I don't want to. Why? Because it's kind of embarrassing. And I think, you know, along the same lines, we're talking about, you know, some of the same things here that, put it all together. Okay, no man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall. What I was going to say is, you know, it's often look at somebody say crook back, dwarf, broken nose, club footed, or something like this, and make some sort of judgment. Don't do that, okay? Don't make a judgment when you see somebody falter. Well, he must really be God's getting him. No. Remember I told you about when I hurt my arm this summer? So I prayed, Lord, is there something here I'm supposed to be learning from this? If I don't get something from the Lord, obviously the answer is no. What father would leave his kid guessing about why he gets spanked? So that's my thinking. That's the way I figure it out anyway. So you can't see anybody and look and say, oh, he's this or he's that. This is figurative language, okay? At time it was the real deal, but now it's, you know, we're portraying Christ who is unblemished. So if you have scurvy or a scab or broken stones or a blemish or anything like that, we're not saying, oh, you don't represent well or anything like that. Again, just think about the typology. Don't think about the... So I look and I make judgments about people and say, listen, we do this. Sadly, we do this in America. We do judge a book by its cover. I try very hard not to. One of the things I always have a problem with is somebody who's always claiming and they talk like they have this super close, intimate relationship with God that I wish I had, but I look at their life and I think, like, God speaks to you all the time, huh? I mean, just seem like you guys are running dialogue. He never tells you go to church or give. Hello? Your spirit of God is so alive and so filling you, and you can't. This little 3-inch piece of tobacco that's kicking your butt, and the Spirit of the living God is dwelling in you, and he can't even deliver you from that? Hello? That's me being judgmental. It really is. Let that person and God deal with those things. Me, just head down, nose in the book, focus on, and the picture, those types, is types, okay? And I just want us to understand that. Okay, having said that, no man hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Why? Because it's a picture of Jesus Christ. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. What do we know about Jesus Christ? Unblemished, undefiled by sin. He shall not eat the bread of his God. I mean, he shall eat the bread of his God. God's not saying, you're going to starve. Okay, he shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy, only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuary, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told unto Aaron, to his sons, and to all the children of Israel. Chapter 22. And the Lord spake, and by the way, we're only going to get chapter 22. Chapter 23, next week, during our Bible and Burgers time, is an incredible chapter about the feasts of the Lord, and it's very instructive, and I think we'll spend the whole time there. So we'll only go to chapter 22 tonight. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Listen, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Why is he going to keep saying that? Because I'm the boss. I'm the one who gets a chance to say, well, I'm Adam. Well, you have nothing. That's nothing. That means nothing. That carries no weight whatever. I'm the Lord. I'm the one who gets to say. I wish we all came to that place where we said, okay, you're the boss, I'm not. But everyone's contesting that. This is what was happening in America right now. We're contesting who gets to say. Well, certain party gets to say. And if you don't toe the party line, you're a hater and a sexist and a homophobe and a racist. And hey, here's something. Shut up. I don't follow you. I follow the Lord. And by the way, I'm none of those things. And the people I know and the people I love are none of those things you're blaming us about. The whole thing in America right now is who gets to say. And I'm telling you, God gets to say. And God says, I get to say. I'm the Lord, okay? We're supposed to be separate into the holy things as Christians. But that same spirit, the zeitgeist that's out there, has entered the church and permeated, and we get to say, and God doesn't get to say anymore. Christians should act Christian, but we're just trying to be like everybody else, like the world, and God's not. Look at what he's saying. Speak unto Aaron, to his sons. Speak unto those who are priests, in other words, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name, because they're representing. And I don't want to be represented poorly. So, you know, have you talked with somebody about the things? Well, I know this deacon in this Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal church, and he ran off with the pastor's wife. And maybe what they're saying is so. That shouldn't be named among us because we're representing, and we're representing very poorly. And God's saying, don't do it. I want you to separate yourselves. That they profane not my holy name. And that's the problem. That's why chapters like this are written. In those things which they hallow unto me, I am the Lord. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. So what happened? How do you get uncleanness? Well, a lot of things. Remember, nocturnal emissions. I think that was the word that it said, if his seed goeth from him. Well, how do you know that? Well, you don't. I mean, what do you got, a seed going from him detection kit? Don't you do it, he says. Don't you, if your uncleanness is upon you, that shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. What he's saying is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So I can stand here and act like, and I got this, like, let's say I got a pornography addiction. I can stand and tell you, oh, pornography is horrible and you should stay away from it. And I'm the whole time I'm in that. God's saying, no, 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 do not do that. They won't know, but I know, and I'm not going to let you get away with it. I'm sure of that. By the way, I think of that all the time. God's not going to let me get away with stuff that I'm telling you is bad. So he's don't be a hypocrite. Live, walk the walk, be the real deal, obviously, right? Obviously, you can imagine that, right? I have an idea. He's stricter with me than he would be with me if I wasn't like a pastor. I really think so. So I'm very strict with myself. I'm very, very legalistic with myself. You, I'm all good with. I'm not a legalist. Me, I'm very legalistic. I want to really keep my stuff taken care of, so and such, like nobody can bust me on unclean things. Let's keep moving. What a man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or hath a running issue. I think that's a lot. That's a problem with priests. They always have a running issue. This is some issue. That's some big, you know, and this is it, and this is the whole, you know, some bags. You can't have bags at the grocery store because you're killing trees or choking sea turtles or something. That is my big issue. And if you're not, you know, a steward of God's wonderful resources he's given us, and we have so many people with a running issue, and I just think, oy vey, represent. Talk about the things of the Lord, because those are the things of the Lord. And do I have those things in my own life? I try not to. I probably do, and I'm probably blind to them. So if you're a leper, you have a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. And whoso touches anything is unclean by the dead. Okay, you're supposed to be separate from the dead. Or a man whose seed goeth from him. There we go again, right? Or whosoever touches any creeping thing. Well, I know a lot of Christians are into creepy things, but that's a story of another time. Whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he hath, that soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean.